Hey, early risers, thank you for getting up early to worship with us. So glad you're here this morning. I want to welcome those of you that are online as well. If you happen to be a guest here for the very first time, we hope you feel welcome, or maybe online for the first time. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. I'm one of the pastors here at the Vineyard, where I'm going to be teaching out of the Bible. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 4. So if you have an app or you have the Bible, open it up to Ephesians 4. We're going to jump into verse 32 in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I wanted to show you a short video of a little bit of the water baptisms that we did 3 weekends ago, so we can celebrate that again and then talk about our upcoming baptism, okay? So let's go ahead and run that video. Oh, I so love seeing people get water baptized. Congratulations to those of you that were water baptized 3 weekends ago. You know, if you haven't been water baptized yet and you're a follower of Jesus, that's an important step in your spiritual life. And so what you need to do, if that's you, is you need to get online, vineyardnorthphoenix.com, take our water baptism class online, so we make sure you know what the Bible teaches about water baptism, and then sign up to be water baptized the weekend of September 18th and 19th, and hopefully we'll be celebrating you 3 weekends from today. Hey, you know, when you and I give financially to God through the Vineyard, one of the miraculous things that God does with our money is He transforms it into changed lives. He changes people's lives as we give to Him financially. We just saw a little snapshot of that with the baptism video, but God is doing that sort of thing all of the time here at the Vineyard. And I just want to remind you that when you and I give back to God, one of the things He does is He supernaturally changes people's lives. We are participating in changed lives just by our financial giving. And I know many of you are incredibly generous and faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May the Lord bless us whenever we give back to Him, because we do it at all different times. So we're going to pause for a moment right now and pray for our offerings whenever we give those to Him. But most importantly, I'd like you to pray that God would really speak to you out of the Bible as we worship God through the study of His Word in just a moment. Okay, so let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful that we get to participate with what You're doing in the world in so many different ways. But one of the ways is with our finances. And as we give back to You, God, we pray that You would continue to use our money to change people's lives, change their eternities, Lord. I pray that You'd bless our gifts as we give those to You, and You would bless us in being faithful to You with our finances. And now, God, as we look into the Scriptures and we worship You by studying Your Word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would speak very clearly to each one of us, those online, those that are in the room, whatever we need to hear from You, Lord. I pray that You'd be very, very specific for each one of us. And I know for that to happen, God, I need Your empowering. As I deliver this message, would You, Holy Spirit, fill me and empower me. Give me the gift of teaching, that You would be glorified and Your church would be edified this morning. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you ever read any corrections in a newspaper or online when something is written incorrectly? You know, I remember still a couple of decades ago, there was an article in the newspaper about a guy named Lee Iacocca. He was the Chrysler chairman of Chrysler Corporation at the time. And the newspaper said this: in a recent article, we referred to the former chairman of the Chrysler Corporation as Lee Iacocca. This is incorrect. His name is Lee Iacocca. See, what they were trying to do, make a wrong right is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about offering forgiveness toward people who offend you, offering forgiveness toward people who hurt you. Because, you know, this series is about how to be successful in life, keys to a successful life. And one of the keys to living a successful life, both emotionally, internally, but also in God's eyes, one of the major keys is that we have to learn how to offer forgiveness toward people who have hurt us. So the first thing I want you to know, and you probably already know this if you're over like 5 years old, is that you will be hurt in life. Have you figured that out yet? You will be hurt. Sometimes you'll be hurt by someone intentionally. Other times you'll be hurt by somebody unintentionally. But you will be hurt. Therefore, it's imperative that you and I learn how to offer forgiveness toward those who hurt us. Now you might be thinking, well, Brian, why should I do that? I mean, why in the world would I ever want to forgive somebody who's hurt me deeply? Well, let me give you three reasons. First of all, I should forgive because God has forgiven me. I've been forgiven by God. Therefore, I need to learn how to forgive others. The Apostle Paul, he wrote it like this. I had to turn to Ephesians 4:32. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Read the rest of this. Forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. See, when I remember how much God has actually forgiven me, it causes me to want to be a little more forgiving toward those who offend me. On the other hand, if I don't really feel forgiven by God, then I'm going to have a hard time forgiving other people. In fact, if you're one of those people who has a really hard time forgiving those who hurt you, if you hold on to a grudge easily, it may be because you don't really feel forgiven deep down. You know, maybe you don't know what it's like to have Jesus Christ wipe the slate of your heart clean and give you a brand new start. Because the Bible says that when a person surrenders their life fully to Jesus, one of the things that he does is he gives you a brand new start. He wipes all of your sins completely away. And for me personally, you know, when I remember that, it makes me want to be a little more forgiving toward those who hurt me. And the fact is this, you will never have to forgive anybody more than God has already forgiven you. So that's one reason I need to forgive, is because God has forgiven me. Second reason is because resentment doesn't work. Resentment is actually very self-destructive. It always hurts you way more than it hurts the other person. Now, if anybody had a right to be resentful in the Bible, it was a guy by the name of Job. There's an entire book of the Bible in the Old Testament named after this particular character. And if you don't know much about Job, Job was a very godly man. God was really number one in his life. In fact, the very first verse in Job 1:1, it says, Job was blameless, he was upright, he feared God, and he shunned evil. He was an upright man, and God blessed his life in all kinds of ways. But in one day, Job lost it all. He lost all of his wealth in one day. All 10 of his children were killed on the same day. And he ended up personally getting a terrible physical disease. He's living in poverty. He's experiencing unbelievable pain. And then his three friends come to him and basically say to him, you know, Job, why you're going through all these difficulties, why you lost your kids, why you lost your wealth, why you have all this sickness on you right now, you know why it is? Because you have some sort of hidden sin in your life. That's why this is happening. If anybody had a reason to be resentful, it was Job. And yet three times in the book of Job, we're told that resentment doesn't work. It doesn't work. Let me just give you one example. Job 5:2, surely resentment destroys the fool. He's saying it's foolish to allow yourself to be resentful. And one of the ways that it's foolish is oftentimes we do really foolish things when we're responding out of resentment or bitterness or hatred. We act in silly ways. We say to ourselves, I'm going to get that person back for what they've done to me. And then we oftentimes do something very ridiculous. Like this guy at work who had a guy who was just driving us crazy. He kept coming up to him and poking him in the chest all the time to make his points. Guy was really resentful toward this guy, poking him all the time. And so this guy said, I'm going to get even with that guy. I'm going to strap a stick of dynamite to my chest, and the next time he pokes my chest, it will blow his hand off. That's the kind of dumb things that we do when we hold on to resentment. And no matter how resentful you are, no matter how bitter you are toward that person who hurt you, all the resentment in the world is not going to change the past. It's not. All the resentment in the world will never resolve the problem. In fact, resentment never hurts the other person. It only hurts you. I mean, the person that you're holding the grudge against, most likely they've already gone on with their life. They don't even realize, probably, how much they've hurt you. And yet you're still allowing that resentment to be like a cancer inside of you. And it's eating you away. Resentment doesn't hurt the other person. It only hurts you. That's why you need to forgive. And the third reason why I should forgive is because forgiveness is something that I'm going to need in the future. Forgiveness is always a two-way street. You can't expect people to forgive you when you're unwilling to offer forgiveness to other people. In fact, Jesus said it like this. He said in Matthew 6, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." He's saying we cannot receive what we're unwilling to give. That's the way it works. Like I said, forgiveness is a two-way street. When you forgive other people, Jesus says, then God will forgive you. But if you are unforgiving toward other people, don't expect forgiveness from God, and most likely don't expect forgiveness from other people either. You know, a man came to John Wesley one time, and he said to John Wesley, man, I could never forgive that person for how deeply they've hurt me. You know what John Wesley said to that guy in return? He said, then I hope you never sin. I will never forgive them, then I hope you never sin. You know, I've talked to so many people over the years, probably hundreds, telling me about their hurt. And I've heard a similar thing many, many times. Pastor, you just don't understand. You don't know how badly they've hurt me. You don't know how awful it was. And you're right, I don't. But I do know about my own experiences with being hurt by other people. And I agree, oftentimes it's really, really awful. And yet God says this, for your own sake, you need to learn to let it go. It's for your own sake. You're not helping the situation by holding on to a hurt. See, when you hold on to a hurt, you're still allowing somebody in the past to continue to hurt you today. And that's a choice that you and I make. They can't continue to hurt you unless you choose to hold on to that hurt and allow them to hurt you. So why should I forgive? Because God has forgiven me. Because resentment doesn't work, and because I'm going to need forgiveness in the future. Now, I've found that one of the reasons people have a hard time forgiving other people when they've been hurt is because they don't really understand what the Bible actually teaches when it talks about forgiveness. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. So I'm going to give you three things that forgiveness is not. First of all, forgiveness is not minimizing the seriousness of the offense. When you forgive somebody, you are not saying, oh, it's no big deal what they did to me. No, it was a big deal. Forgiveness is not saying, well, it didn't really hurt me that much. Yeah, it did. Hurt you a lot. Forgiveness is not saying, well, what they did to me is kind of a small thing. No, it was a big thing. And that's why you need to forgive it. Second thing forgiveness is not, it's not the instant restoration of trust. A lot of people misunderstand this. Forgiveness is given instantly because it's a choice you make. But trust with this other person who has hurt you has to be rebuilt sometimes over a long period of time. Someone who has betrayed you, someone who has hurt you deeply, you cannot trust them instantly. They have to prove their trustworthiness to you. I mean, if somebody has hurt you over and over and over again, the Bible says that you are obligated to forgive them, but you are not obligated to instantly trust them. They don't have any track record with you. In fact, some people think, well, if I forgive my abusive spouse, then that means that I need to let them back in the house right away. No, no, no. Not necessarily at all. See, forgiveness means I'm going to let go of the hurt, but they have to do some things in order to rebuild the trust. Forgiveness is what you do. They have to rebuild trust in the relationship. The third thing forgiveness is not resuming the relationship without any changes. In other words, forgiveness is not the same thing as a reunion of relationship. Forgiveness is what you do if you're the one that's been hurt, if you're the one that's been offended. But if the relationship between you and that other person is ever going to be restored, then the offender probably has to do a few things. The offender probably needs to repent for the way that they've hurt you. Maybe they need to make restitution where possible. And they need to do a lot of different things to rebuild trust with you over a period of time. It is not instant. Now, you need to forgive them, whether or not they ever do any of those things. But forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. It's not the same. In fact, you can forgive in secret. You can forgive someone who's hurt you without them ever knowing that you've forgiven them. Because forgiveness is what you do. It's not what they do. In fact, most of the time, that's the way that we should forgive, is in secret. Because if somebody's hurt you, and they don't even know that they've hurt you, it's unwise to go to them way after the fact and say, oh, just so you know, I've forgiven you for what you've done. See, that might open a whole new can of worms if they don't even know they originally hurt you. That's happened to me actually many, many times over the years. Good-hearted people, but people in our church, you know, somebody said to me not that long ago something like, you know, hey, Pastor, I just want you to know that I've hated you for the last 5 years because you didn't say hi to me in the lobby one day, and so I've held this grudge against you, but it's all good now. I decided to forgive you. That's not helpful, all right? Don't do those kind of things to other people. All right, so how do we do it? How do we forgive? Let me give you four things. First of all, you need to recognize that we're all imperfect. We're all imperfect. That's important because when we're filled with resentment toward another person, bitterness, hurt, what we tend to do is we tend to dehumanize the offender. We sometimes forget that they are actually a human being too. Because the truth is, we're all sinners. We're all capable of hurting other people. In fact, every one of us in this room, everyone online, we are capable and have intentionally wronged other people in our life at certain times. Maybe not to the same degree that others have wronged you, but all of us have done it. We've all wronged other people intentionally. That's why God says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a single person in all the earth who is always good and never sins except Brian. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that at all. We are all imperfect. And so the person who hurt you is not an animal. They're a human being like you are. They're an offender, and they've wronged you. And that's serious. We're not minimizing that. But we need to realize that we have done similar things to other people. Recognize we're all imperfect. Second part of forgiveness, I need to give up my right to get even. This is the heart of forgiveness right here. I need to give up my right to get even with that person who's hurt me. Look at Paul says in Romans 12, verse 19, he says, never take your own revenge. No exceptions. Never, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. See, what forgiveness is all about is saying, I'm going to give up the right to get even with you. You deserve for me to hurt you back, but I'm not going to do it. You deserve to be retaliated against, but I'm not going to do it. You deserve to be punished, and I deserve to get even with you, but I'm going to give up that right. That is the heart of forgiveness, and that's a choice. He said, well, Brian, that seems so unfair. You're right. It is. But who told you that life was going to be fair? God never told us in the Bible that life is going to be fair. This is not heaven. This is an imperfect place. And so this is a place where people sin, where people make mistakes. I do. You do. And so does everybody else. And the truth is, there's just a whole lot of injustice in this world. But God says one day, he's going to settle the score. One day, God is going to balance the books. One day, God is going to call in all the accounts. But the Bible says, you don't try to get even. Leave that to God. God has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So in the meantime, you need to let go of the hurt that you're feeling and let go of trying to get the last word, because all that does is make you miserable. Don't try to get even. Let God be God. Let God settle the score. Now you might think, well, Brian, how often do I need to do that? I mean, how often do I need to release my right to get even with this other person? As often as the hurtful memory comes back. As often as the hurtful memory comes back. Every time you start to feel resentful toward that person again, then you have to do it again. Forgiveness is not a one-time deal. And the more deeply that you've been hurt, the more often you're going to have to do this. In fact, Jesus taught it this way in Matthew 18. He said, it says this, then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Peter's like being magnanimous, he thinks here. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, Jesus is not talking about 490 times and that's all you have to do. He's talking about an infinite number. He's saying, don't even try to count. Just do it every time you remember the hurt. If I want to forgive, I have to give up my right to get even. Third part of forgiveness is to respond to the evil, respond to the offense with good. With good. How do we know that we've really forgiven someone? when you begin to understand their hurt, and when you begin praying for them. See, what happens is, as you continually yield your right to get even with the person who has hurt you, and you continually make the choice to forgive them from your heart, what God does is He begins to change your heart. And after a while, you can even begin praying for them and looking for ways to do good to them. That's what Jesus says in Luke 6. He says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, love them. Do good, even to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." Now, I want you to know there is no way that you and I can obey these verses in our own power. Humanly speaking, we don't have enough love and forgiveness in our life to continually forgive everybody who hurts us. Now, that takes God's power. The only way that you can do that is to get Jesus Christ in your life and allow Him to begin to fill your heart with His love and His peace and His forgiveness, because I'll tell you what, human love wears out. It does. So the only way you can do that is go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, would you fill me with your love to be able to forgive this person and actually pray for them and do good for them?" Respond to the evil with good. Fourth part of forgiving is I need to stop focusing on the hurt. Stop focusing on the hurt. If I want to experience the freedom of forgiveness, and that's what it is, I have to stop focusing on my hurt and stop focusing on the person who offended me. Instead, what I need to do is I need to begin to refocus what God's purpose for my life is. See, God's purpose for my life is greater than any problem or any pain that I'm experiencing. But as long as I continue to focus on the person who's hurt me, they, like I said earlier, they are still controlling me. In fact, let me take it a step further. Unless you release that person who's offended you, who's hurt you, eventually you're going to begin to resemble them. Unless you release them, you're going to resemble them. You say, "Well, Brian, what do you mean?" Well, the law of life is this. We become like whatever we focus on. That's true in the positive sense. We become like whatever we focus on. And it's also true in the negative sense. People say things like, "I'm never going to be like my mother. I'm never going to raise my kids the way that my parents raised me." You're focusing on that. And those people end up doing the exact same thing that their parents did or their mom did. Why? Because you become like what you focus on. So you need to stop focusing on the hurt and stop focusing on the person who's hurt you. Now, I mentioned Job earlier. And again, he had every reason to be offended. And he had every reason to be resentful toward his three friends. And yet Job gives us three things that if we will do these three things, it will help us overcome the hurt that somebody's caused in our life. It says in Job 11, verse 13, "If you would direct your heart right and spread out your hand to God, if iniquity is in your hand, put it far away and do not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then indeed you could lift up your face without moral defect and you would be steadfast and not fear." He gives us three things that we can do to help us overcome hurt from another person. The first thing he says, I need to put my heart right. Put my heart right. It says in verse 13, "If you would direct your heart right." That means I need to release that person and forgive that person who's hurt me. And that is a choice to do that. They don't deserve it necessarily, but it's a choice you make. And I know some of you are saying, "Well, I don't feel like making that choice." I get that. Here's some pastoral counsel for you. Do it anyway. I understand you don't feel like doing it, do it anyway. Because God says to do it because you're only making yourself miserable by holding on to the hurt. Second thing Job says to do if we want to bring healing in our hearts is we need to reach out to God. He says in verse 13, spread out your hands to God. That means to ask Jesus Christ into your life and become the center of your life. Because again, you don't have enough power and love and forgiveness on your own to do good to those who have hurt you. So you reach to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm reaching out to you. Help me to forgive this other person. Reach out to God. And the third thing Job tells us to do is to face the world again. In other words, don't withdraw into a shell. Don't build up walls around your heart. Don't say, you know, I'm never going to let another man hurt me again. Or I'm never going to open myself up deeply to another relationship or another friendship. No, that is unwise. When a person does that, that's unwise because you're cutting yourself off from love. And if you do that long enough, your heart will shrivel and eventually die. So you have to face the world again. You have to resume living and say to yourself, I am not a victim. With Jesus Christ's power, I'm going to start living again. And when you do those three things, notice what it says in verse 16, you would forget your trouble as waters that have passed by. In other words, the memory of that hurt and the pain of that hurt will begin to fade away. Wouldn't you like that to happen? Wouldn't you like that hurt that you have from somebody who's offended you, done something to really hurt you? Wouldn't you like that to stop hurting? Well, for that to happen, you need to do what God says. You need to put your heart right. You need to reach out to God. And you need to face the world again. As we close, I'd like to give us a few minutes to actually do some spiritual business with God. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to make the choice to forgive this morning before we go. Maybe one of your parents, one of your kids, maybe a coworker, maybe your boss, maybe an employee of yours, maybe a friend, maybe an ex-spouse, maybe your spouse, I don't know. But God wants all of us to be able to leave this service today, whether in person or online, being free. Because we're not holding on to resentment. We're not holding on to any grudges. And again, we're going to have to probably make those choices many, many times after we leave here. But we can leave here starting the process of freedom. So would you bow your head with me in prayer just for a moment? I'm going to ask the presence of the Holy Spirit to increase right now. Holy Spirit, would you increase your power in each person's lives, those that are online, those that are in the room, come, Holy Spirit. Would you have your way in every one of our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you point out anybody in our life that we have unforgiveness toward, resentment, bitterness? And Holy Spirit, would you fill us with your power so that we could begin to make the choice to forgive them, release the right to get even with them. You know, if somebody comes to your mind, that's the Holy Spirit. And what you need to do is just take that person out of your heart and also what they've done to you out of your heart and release them and what they've done to God and say, God, I don't want to hold them in my heart anymore. I want to be free. I'm making the choice to forgive, and I'm going to allow you to deal with them in your way and in your time if you decide to deal with them at all. But I want to be free. Just between you and God, there's somebody you need to do that with. Just do that right now. Maybe there's something else about a relationship with someone that you need to do business with God about. We're just going to tarry here for a couple of minutes. We don't want to rush the work of the Holy Spirit. And I felt like the Holy Spirit actually, just as you remain in an attitude of prayer, felt like the Holy Spirit actually gave me a few names of people that he was particularly putting his finger on, that either, I don't know the circumstances, either you've been hurt really deeply by somebody and God is saying, I want to give you grace and power to begin the process of healing. Or maybe you're the person who actually hurt another person. And maybe you need to go to them and ask them to forgive you. But I felt like somebody by the name of William, I don't know if you're online or in this room. You might go by Bill, I don't know. I also felt like I received the name Sandra or Sandy. If that's you, I think God's giving you grace to do whatever you know you need to do in your heart. I felt like there's somebody named Vanessa, a similar thing. And also Arnold, somebody named Arnold that God is giving grace to do what he wants you to do. You know, if you're new to the Vineyard, one of the things we always do in our services is we pray for people because we believe God answers prayer, that God brings healing, both physically and emotionally, spiritually, all of that. He brings healing. God brings deliverance for those of us that feel captive in some way, maybe a demonic force of some kind. God brings blessing. God opens up job opportunities when we receive prayer. I mean, there's all kinds of things that God does. The age to come, the kingdom of God breaks into this present evil age, oftentimes when we lay our hands on one another and pray for one another. And so before you go, if you would like to receive prayer about anything, doesn't have to be related to the message. If it is related to the message, I would encourage you to, if you got something going on there, God can begin the process of healing your heart from your hurt. I would tell some of our ministry team members about that, allow them to pray for you. But if it doesn't have anything to do with the message, that's fine too. We'd love, love, love to pray for you. If you're online, just click on the prayer button and one of our team members will pray with you. We'd love to do that. But if you're here, we're going to have a ministry team up here at the front when I dismiss the service in just a moment. And so if you'd like somebody to pray for you, please come up and talk to one of them and they would love to do that, all right? Let's all stand. I want to pray a blessing over us before we go. Lord, we're so grateful that you've given us a way to be free in our emotions by making the difficult choices to forgive other people and not allow that resentment to eat us away. Help us to continue, God, to make those choices that you want us to make. I pray for every person that made a decision today, God, to do that. I pray that you would give them grace to continue to walk that out. And I pray also, Lord, that you would show them how pleased you are, God, with their desire to be right with you. And I pray if there are other things, God, that they need to do, that you would point those out as we go our separate ways. Thank you for all my friends here, Lord. I pray that you would bless each one, both online and in person. Bless them, keep them, cause your face to shine upon them, be gracious to them. Lift up your favor to them, God, and give them peace. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, say hi to some people on your way out. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you soon.